Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
Though your world is torn apart and you're left with a broken heart and you feel that there's no real healing inside, oh no, but this I know.
Hello, Don't Give Up Radio listeners. This is Jackie Wayans, your host of Don't Give Up Radio, and I'm really happy to be here with you once again, another week. You made it through whatever that challenge was that you were facing, whatever that difficulty that you thought might just break you. You didn't. You didn't break. You're here. You didn't give up. You're still breathing. And maybe, just hopefully and prayerfully, by the end of the show, if you're dealing with any relationship questions, you might have the answer to that as well. As you know, for the month of February, we have been dealing with the issue of relationships. We started off the very first week with Antonio Neal and his wife, Shay, just talking about marriage and what it really means to be committed and to be in love. It's not just the warm and fuzzies, as was said in the wonderful movie Old Fashioned, which is still in theaters. And so, you know, we learned from them that you can have a thriving marriage even after a really rough patch. And we also learned that people who have been divorced really don't have to be destroyed by that, and they have a pending documentary coming up. Then we talked about the movie Old Fashioned and those wonderful values that we seem to have let go of. But to be able to go back to the idea of chivalry and being treated with value and really taking the whole courtship and the relationship pursuing seriously and really looking at building a relationship with someone instead of just the casual, you know, one-night stand concept that's being pushed everywhere we look in our society, in commercials and music and videos and everything. And last week, waiting on the Lord was the premise there. Waiting on the Lord, not in the sense that you're just sitting at home in your bathrobe with curlers in your hair, waiting on the Lord to provide you for a prince or a princess. It is really an issue of staying prayerful. And while you're staying prayerful, looking at yourself, looking at the areas that you can develop your dreams, your passions, what were you created to bring to this planet so that you are a whole entity when you meet up with that special person. And that fits in perfectly with tonight's show. We have a real-life matchmaker, relationship coach, certified. Daniel Amos is here with us tonight, and he is going to walk us through the very practical elements of getting back out there, of dating, of connecting with another individual. And I've defined what I mean by dating. We're not talking about you look good or you smell good, let's just go hang out together. We're talking about investing time with another individual for the purpose of a greater relationship. So, Daniel, welcome. Glad to have you on the show.
Thank you, Jackie. Thank you for having me on the call.
Oh, it's a pleasure. And I think we're going to cover some very interesting things tonight. You know, I think there are very few men that are in this field and few that are doing it the way that you are. When I think of matchmakers, I think of women. Usually it's women who kick out of putting people together and doing that type of thing. So I really was curious and I wanted to know, you know, how did you get started in this field?
Well, I started my relationship coaching business actually prior to that in 2005. And I've counseled many friends and family members even before that, but I wanted to get into something new as well as exciting. So I saw the show The Millionaire Matchmaker that featured matchmaker Patty Stanger and said, that looks so fun. That looks like fun. It's a fun thing to do. So I received some matchmaking tips from her and came across a school called the Matchmaking Institute when I received my matchmaking certification to become a professional certified matchmaker.
Okay, great. So let's go back before that then. What were some of your telltale signs that made you realize that this was something you should be doing professionally?
Well, as I mentioned, I've counseled many friends and family members. So when I actually looked into getting into that type of field, I said, okay, well, this is the type of industry that I would like to get my assistance in. I would like to be a part of the love industry. I would love to help people. I would love to counsel them on their relationships. And when I actually saw the Millionaire Matchmaker show, I said, I would love to match people up. I would love to do that on a professional level. I have matched up one friend of mine before that, and he went on a date with someone. Everything went well, and I said, okay, wow, this seems like something that I can actually do, but I never gave it much thought after. It was only until I saw the show and received my certification is when I decided to actually become the matchmaker.
Well, you know, God uses a lot of things to direct us and to develop us, and there are gifts and talents and traits that, you know, we don't really know we have until we're in the situation. And by you helping a friend, you realize that there was something there, and you didn't let it rest. You pursued it, which is great. I'm wondering more about your personality, your character. Tell me a little bit about your childhood. Did you have the typical traditional family of mom and dad and grow up seeing that? I mean, what was your family life like?
Okay. Well, I saw my father every now and then, but I was raised by a single parent, my mom, who cared for my sister and I. But I will say what's interesting about my mother and father's relationship is my mother's birthday, God rest her soul, was on Valentine's Day, and my father's last name is Valentine. That should have been a match made in heaven right there.
Wow. Well, maybe it wasn't for them, but it was for who they were spawning, right? The child that they
absolutely
were giving birth to. So now let's slow down those emotions a little bit. You knew who your father was, but you were raised by your mom. They were divorced by the time you were 8 years old. So what did you see in your mom, a single mom raising a kid on her own? What were some of the things that you observed about her as you were growing up?
Well, I would say love is the strongest part of her character that I actually saw. But let me preface it by saying that my mom passed away in 2004 at the young age of 40, and she was dealing with diabetes and lung and heart problems, as well as depression, which mostly occurred because she lost her mom and brother around the same time.
Oh my.
But even with her battling those conditions, she was the embodiment of strength and love. She has such a huge heart and love. My sister, as well as myself, and of course other family members dearly. The acknowledgement of her love and the emphasis of love is something that I focus on in my current relationship and speak to others about in theirs, because you never know how long you'll have on this earth that you have remaining, how much time you have remaining on this earth. So you have to cherish the ones that you love, and you have to express how much you love to that particular person or individuals.
Indeed, that is very important, and we're going to come back around to that in a second. She also exposed you to the greatest love of all, right? She also exposed you to church and faith in God. Talk to us a little bit about that as you were growing up.
Yeah, well, I was actually raised in church. My mother took both me and my sister to church at a very young age. And she used to sing in the choir. And she was very good. She was a soprano, by the way. She was a very good singer. And, yeah, so I observed her just from her way of carrying herself on a spiritual level and how she raised both me and my sister. And I said, okay, well, I need to actually grow up and have more of a spiritual side. So once I actually started growing up, once I got into my teenage years, I did go to church on my own. Eventually, I fell out of church, but after she passed away, I stopped going to church, but after I actually grew closer to God, and though I was upset, I was grateful for her time on this earth and the time that she spent with both me and my sister, and that she was no longer suffering from the conditions that I mentioned previously.
You know, I'm wondering, and I'm, you know, doing my little psychoanalysis here.
Uh-huh.
That is definitely a very traumatic thing to have happen to anyone. And here you are as an adult, you know, putting people together. And I'm wondering if you could probably express what it was like for you as a young boy, because moms are your first love. You know, in most cases, that first love relationship happens between a son and a mother, a father and a daughter. So here you are, and you're seeing her in all of her vibrance and her singing and you know, living life, and then she gets ill, and you see her going through that whole process alone. Talk to me about, you know, what were your emotions and feelings for seeing that? What did it make you think about in terms of her having to deal with those things alone?
Well, it was difficult to see someone so full of life and energy prior to her illnesses become a shell of herself. And as I mentioned, she participated in the choir, and she used to listen to a variety of spiritual music when she used to work out. And seeing her work out as a child to not being able to walk down the block without stopping to catch a breath was incredibly hard to actually witness. It was very hard for me to actually watch. So it was a very, very difficult time period during the last days of her life.
And something that she had to experience on her own.
Yes.
In hindsight, is there anything that you wished that you could have done better? I mean, granted, you were a young man growing up, and you probably did everything you could do. But what did you learn? What did you carry away from losing your mom in the way that you did?
Well, I learned what I carried away was, again, you never know how long you have left on this earth, so you have to express love to those that you care about, and you have to show love to those individuals. You have to express to the person that you're with, whether it's in a relationship, if it's a family member, you have to tell them that you love them. You have to show them how much you love them, because again, you never know how long you have on this earth. So it's important for you to share that message.
Absolutely. And I'm sure as a young man growing up, you know, you would have had your own dreams of having your mom see you get married, meet your own kids, and just experiencing life with you. And as you mentioned, you know, it was difficult. But when you came back to the Lord, it allowed you to stand stronger. It allowed you to stand more erect. And there are times that we face things in our lives and we don't see how they're going to mold us and benefit us in the future. But what we can do in the moment is stand and rely on the strength that God promises to give those who put their faith and their trust in Him.
When you turn around, God's plan for romance and marriage become old-fashioned. take a reformed frat boy and a free-spirited girl, attempting the impossible in modern-day America, an old-fashioned courtship and a God-honoring relationship.
Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you.
Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is old-fashioned. Old-fashioned. Rated PG-13. May be inappropriate for children under 13. In theaters this Friday. Find a theater near you at oldfashionedmovie.com.
Don't give up radio show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
All right, we are back, and you just finished listening to Stand. That was done by yours truly from the My Strength, My Song CD, which is available on SoundCloud for free. You can just, you know, find Jackie Wayans and you will see the My Strength, My Song CD, and you can just download it, because everything that I'm doing here is really to minister to your heart and build you up, to let you know that you can do all things through Christ. I say it every week, Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved. And you need to look at the verses 10:9 and 10 for yourself, because there's more to it. But that's the beginning of the relationship. And as Daniel was explaining, despite everything that he saw with his mother and losing his mother, he was still able to come out of it with strength. And not only strength, but on the verge of a new career and a new beginning by helping other people to be able to find love. Now, I was joking with you, Daniel, a little bit before we came on the air that, okay, so here's the thing. Everyone on this, mm-hmm. who listens to me, they know that I have been single for the past 14 years. And right. I think that I was asked out on a date today, but I don't even know it. I'm so out of the loop.
You think you was asked on a date?
In hindsight, I was reviewing what happened in my mind. I said, wait a minute, did I get asked out on a date? But I don't know. So that's really sad.
Wow.
And so, you know, your services are greatly needed. I'm sure there are other people like me out there. So yeah. here we are. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I mean, you're definitely not alone on that. I mean, to my knowledge, and of course, this has been a statistic that has been around for the longest time, at least over the past few years, and that there are over 50% of marriages in the U.S. that end in divorce. And according to the U.S. Census, there are nearly 96 million unmarried people in the U.S. So there is a need for the matchmaking and relationship coaching programs that I offer. And
wow.
I hope you really did get asked on a date. It would be nice to see you on a date with someone after 14 years.
Well, this was not probably the kind of date I want to go on. I accidentally thought an event was happening tonight, it was happening tomorrow, and the manager was like, well, you know, come in for karaoke. And I said, well, I do sing, but I'll just come back tomorrow. And he said, well, how about wine and dinner? And I said, well, no wine, just dinner. And he said, okay, take my number. And I took his number, and then when I'm on the train, I'm like, wait a minute, did I just agree to have dinner with him? So completely above my head, missed it completely if it was anything.
Wow.
So talk to us a little bit about your take on things, your mm-hmm. business, how you look at the industry, and give us a summary of what you do.
Okay, well, as far as matchmaking, let me say that my clients are 25 to 55 years of age, single professionals, and I speak with each individual to find out more about who they are and what they're looking for in a match. And then I look in my database for a good potential candidate, and then I schedule a time for the two of them to speak and provide tips, pointers, and feedback to each person before and after, especially if they decide to go on a date.
Okay, so now
nutshell, that's pretty much what I do.
Okay, so when you provide tips and pointers, though, because we've talked mm-hmm. about this over the past 3 weeks on the show, What is your focus with that? Is it just so that they could do well on their date and get another date, or is it, to help them understand how they're coming off and how they're communicating and to build skills for the future?
Well, initially what I do, because a lot of people don't tell me off the bat what their problem is when it comes to dating or what their issue is when it comes to dating, so I usually get feedback from the opposite party that I set them up on a date with. So prior to actually them actually going on a date, I give general advice, such as don't show up late or be courteous to your date and, of course, to others, such as the wait staff. You don't want to be rude to the wait staff because it makes it look bad on you. So I give them some general tips and pointers. Now, if things don't go well on a date, I would obviously hear that from the other person, and they would give me the feedback that's needed for that person, and I would explain to them what to do better the next time. So they, if anything, if things don't work out in terms of them being matched through my service, they have some pointers that they could take with them for the rest of their life.
Right, because transformation is really, it has to be done because you see the need for it to be done, not because you're trying to, catch a man or you're trying to fit into a mold so that you can get the ring, because then you just revert back to whoever you really are. But it has to be
right,
because you are now understanding that as a communicator on this level, there's certain things that you need to develop mm-hmm. about yourself. And I didn't say adjust, because that's different than developing, I think, you know?
Right. You're absolutely right.
Let's make this interesting, because mm-hmm. time always goes so quickly on my show. I'm going to throw out a few keywords.
Okay.
And I'm just going to let you expound and tell us how you would handle it, okay?
Okay.
So, now, there are people who they come to you because they want to get started. They feel they're ready to go back into the dating game, but yet their feet are a little cold. They need a little encouragement, a little prompting.
Okay.
How would you handle that?
Okay. I'm reminded of a quote by Martin Luther King Jr., and he said, take the first step in faith. You don't have to see the whole staircase. Just take the first step. So the courage to act depends on you. Decide if you're ready to make a positive change in your love life and take the first step. And trust God. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 says, for I know the plans that I have for you, to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. So you have to trust God that he's going to make that available to you.
Absolutely. That verse is used a lot, and it's
mm-hmm.
interesting because we only use it for the little areas that we feel comfortable with it. But
right.
the interesting thing about the Word of God is that you can apply it like a balm to every area of your life,
yeah.
and you don't have to worry about that. So, and the other thing is that now, what are the type of people that you're coaching in terms of relationships? So someone comes through your door, what kind of, what are you looking for to say you're the right client for my business? Because it's one thing to say you're the right business for what I want, and another thing to say that you are actually the right client. How does that work?
Mm-hmm. Well, when it comes to relationship coaching, or even date coaching for that matter, they have to actually be ready to make that transformation, because a lot of people, when they approach certain services or they do certain things, they're not ready to actually make that change. They have to be willing to make that change in order for me to actually work with them. If they're still stuck in their old ways and their old patterns, I can't help them. So I have to be able to, in order for me to work with them, they have to be willing to make that change. They have to be willing to say, okay, I'm ready to have a great relationship. I'm ready to become a better dater. Or when it comes to matchmaking, I'm ready to find that right person.
So like I said at the top of the show, they can't come to you and then sit in the house with their robe and rollers every night.
Right.
They have to be prepared to actually go out on a date and meet with someone and have conversations on the phone or what have you.
Absolutely.
Are you looking for, are your clients typically people who are more committed? I mean, how does that work?
When it comes to matchmaking, is what you're asking, or are they more committed?
When they come to you
of,
as being a proper fit for your company, mm-hmm. and what you
do? Yeah, well, initially, when they contact me, usually it's through my website when it comes to the matchmaking service, and they have to fill out a brief questionnaire, just some basic information about who they are and what they're looking for. And then I would set up a call, and we would speak, and I would find out through that call whether they're a good fit for the service, if they're committed to actually finding the right person. And it's the same thing through my relationship coaching service as well. They have to fill out some information. I have to contact them to find out if they're ready to make that commitment, because that's where it begins. They have to have that commitment. They have to be ready to make that change, because you can't just say, okay, I want this to happen. I want to find that right person, but you're not willing to take the action steps to make it happen.
Right. Now, and are you looking for people who just want companionship, or are you looking for people who want long-term, substantial relationships with each other?
I'm looking for people who want long-term, substantial relationships. That's the type of clients that I seek when it comes to matchmaking, of course. If they're just looking for companionship, it may work or it may not, but I don't really want to just focus on people who are looking for companionship. I want people who are looking for Mr. or Mrs. Right, someone they could spend the rest of their lives with, someone that they can grow old with, someone
right.
that they can share their time with and spend that quality time with. Those are the type
yeah,
of clients that I'm looking for.
I think that makes what you're doing fairly unique, because a lot of people see this industry and they just see the dollar signs, and they're not really that interested. In fact, there's a show on right now called A to Z, and the young man actually works at a firm that is a matchmaking company. And from the company's perspective, they're trying to keep people as dissatisfied as possible so they keep coming back and using their services.
Right.
You know, they're exploiting them. And so that's something
right.
that, you know, people who have taking the time to think they're coming to you, they're vulnerable, and to know that
mm-hmm.
they'll be in good hands, so to speak. I'll throw out another word. Online dating.
Well, let me say this. There are 20 to 40 million Americans that have used online dating There are 20 to 40 million Americans that have used online dating services at one point or another, and it does give you the opportunity to meet people you may not meet otherwise. So my service differs, however, because I screen and interview each person, so the information and the pictures that are given to me are accurate and up to date. It has to it's hard to get that through online dating, because people may submit photos, they may fill out information through their profiles that's not accurate. They may meet with the individual, they may meet up with someone, and that person may say, hey, you do not look like your photo, or how did you gain 40 pounds overnight, or whatever the case may be. So whatever information is given to me is up to date and accurate, and I do meet with a good majority of my clients, and they have to give me information that's accurate, because if it's not, they're automatically out of service. I want to keep it fair. I want to make it fair for everyone that uses my service.
Well, that's great that you have some clear boundary lines there. I did once just make the profile, you know, and after I made the profile,
right.
I like forced myself to do it, and then they showed me all of my options, and I thought, oh my gosh, I can't do this, and just shut it down.
Right.
It's been shut down ever since, you know.
Right.
And that would probably lead me to my next phrase, over 40. Mm. You know, there's this concept that once over 40, just forget it. You're too old, or maybe you'll be a cougar or something like that. What would you say to over 40 clients?
Wow. There are so many ways, so many different directions I can go with this. Well, let me touch on the I'm too old mentality. When you're at a certain point in your age and you're dating and you're looking at your age as a barrier, you have to change your mindset. You have to be willing to change your mindset. And in order for you to do that, you have to really look at yourself and say, okay, how can I make my life different when it comes to dating? How can things be better for me? How can I have better dating experiences that will reflect a more positive picture? You have to be emotionally available and speak happiness, because if you speak and think negatively, that's what you'll continue to attract. And yes, some men may want younger women, but what is on women over 40 side is maturity and experience. And you can be just as lively as someone younger. This is something that I emphasize on when it comes to matching clients up, when I'm speaking with the guys that are a part of the service. And most of them are happy with the people that I select for them when it comes to age. And this is part of what contributes to my 93% success rate.
Wow, that is actually a very great success rate indeed. Now, you have the concept here. You touched on two very interesting points. Do you have the issue of men who do come saying, you know, I'd like to, look at younger candidates than I am? How do you counsel? How do you handle that?
When men come to me and say they'd like to look at younger women that fit their preference, what I usually do in that particular scenario is I say, okay, well, if I find someone that's closer to your age or a little bit older than what you prefer and she still fits everything else that you're looking for, would you be willing to actually go on a date with her? And a lot of them say yes. So I don't really take what they say in terms of age as that's what's set in stone. I try to counsel them. I try to tell them about the maturity and the experience that the older women may have, and the fact that when you're 40, you think differently than you would at 20. Your maturity and your experience at those point in times are completely different. So it's better for the guys who approach me and they want women that are younger and they have a preference of younger women, it's better for them to date older women because they would be the best fit for them.
And so now, what are some of the mistakes that you see women typically make when they come to you? What are some of the issues that older women might have?
Well, one of the issues is the fact that it's basically on that particular topic. They can't find guys that want women their age. And what I try to tell them is you can still find that right guy for you. You can still find a guy that wants someone your age. There are a lot of people in this world, and I quoted statistics before in terms of the number of unmarried people in the U.S. and how many single people there are. You just have to put yourself in an environment to meet those guys. You have to put yourself out there. You have to put yourself in a space to meet Mr. Right. So
yeah,
that's one of the things that I actually tell them when it comes to that, if that's one of their issues.
And you talked about mindset also. Can you elaborate a little bit? You know, I know that for myself, in order to be single the way I need to be as a believer, I knew that there were certain things that I couldn't watch or couldn't listen to, couldn't partake in, because they would just incite some thoughts and emotions. And in order to keep myself, I needed to guard that. Not that those songs are bad, but they're bad for me, right? Until I'm in a relationship, until I'm married. And you made a really great point when we were talking earlier about music in regards to that, because I said to you, well, I knew how to turn it off, but how do you now turn the mindset that you need to have to move forward back on?
Right. Well, you begin, if it comes to music, you have to listen to songs that are uplifting and encouraging and positive. When we spoke before about music and we were on the topic of mindset, I brought up Mary J. Blige and the fact that when she first started, she had songs that were very sad when it came to relationships and how men were treating her badly and the bad relationships that she was in. And those were songs, and not all of those songs were her life experiences, but the fact of the matter is she put so much life and so much energy into those songs that she started to attract that into her actual life.
Mm-hmm.
So what she did later on was start making more happy songs, more positive songs. And you know what? She began to attract more positive experiences in her life. And I want to touch a little bit on rap music with the passing of Biggie and Tupac Shakur, obviously in the 90s years ago. But through their songs, through their lyrics, they were talking so much about death. Biggie had a song or album, I believe, called Ready to Die. Tupac talked about it countlessly throughout his songs about death, and they attracted that into their life. The power of your words. Go ahead.
No, you're saying it. You know, life and death is in the power of your own tongue.
Absolutely.
You know, and you also had a very interesting thought about Les Brown, that you heard him say something that was very impacting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was facing cancer. I believe it was prostate cancer that he was going through, and he noticed that the type of people that he was hanging around, the people that had cancer, they were a bit dreary, they were a bit out of it, and some of them actually passed away. What he decided to do was hang around cancer survivors, people who actually beat cancer, and speak life into what they're doing and how they're surviving, and speaking about how they're looking forward to seeing another day. And that gave him the encouragement to actually feel that way and to actually speak that way also. And I believe that with him speaking that way, that contributed to his health, to making him better, to making him whole. And, of course, a large part of it had to do with God and the fact that God actually said, okay, well, you want to live, I'm willing to help you live.
Wow. You know, I think about sunshine, you know, the sun's rays, and whenever you think about sunshine, you think about happiness, you think about love, you think about all the good things. And as we think about getting into relationship, and you're talking about mindset, we really need to allow that sunshine back into our mind and let go of all the negative experiences we may have had, all the hurts or the betrayals, and now open up once again and let the sun in. When we come back, we'll talk more with Daniel Amos.
You bring the sun out. You make my life grow.
You're the reason that I'm living. I was hurting, but I'm happy again.
You bring the sun out.
What I want to God, that's the reason why. Question number one.
What can I do?
Question number two.
What can I say?
Try to let you know.
I appreciate all of the ways you
get
me through a day.
Never would have thought
I would be here.
A heart with no scars.
A face with no fear.
How can I thank you?
How can I show you? Not only that, but how could you see
the days of my nights, the pains of my life, but now it's alright.
Cause you looked out for me.
You gave me a chance when
I had no chance.
And when I needed help,
you gave me your hand.
So now they need to see just what you mean to me. And if you ever left me,
where would I be?
Oh.
You are the one that gives me the air to breathe.
Hallelujah. It's me I can't deny. If I stray,
still be always pulling me close to you.
So no matter where you are, just know I'm not far.
Without you, what can I do?
You're the reason that I'm living. I was hurting, but I'm happy again.
You bring the sun.
Lord, I want to thank you, cause
God's plan for romance and marriage become old-fashioned? Take a reformed frat boy and a free-spirited girl attempting the impossible in modern-day America. An old-fashioned courtship and a God-honoring relationship.
Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you.
Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is old-fashioned. Old-fashioned. Rated PG-13. May be inappropriate for children under 13. In theaters this Friday. Find a theater near you at oldfashionedmovie.com.
Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
Well, we all need relationships, and we all like to feel good. It feels like summertime, you know, that sunshine, everything going right in your relationship. It's like nothing can go wrong. And I want you to know once again that God's love never fails. And that's where you start. You start with Him. And He did also say in His word, though, that it was not good for man to be alone. And we've been talking with Daniel about matchmaking and finding that right person to spend the rest of your life with, a committed, long-term relationship. Despite the statistics and all of that, our hope is to trust and believe that we would be able to find and work at that relationship, because as you're mentioning, Daniel, it's not just an issue of finding. It is work. You're talking about working on yourself and working to build skills that will sustain a marriage, sustain a long-term relationship with another party.
Absolutely. And it is about mindset, and you do have to work on yourself spiritually, mentally, and emotionally before you can attract the love that you're seeking. And you can begin now. So you have to put yourself in that space and that environment. You have to give yourself the opportunity to find matches. You have to give yourself the chance to find matches. You have to do the work. You have to take the action to meet the type of person that you're looking for.
Well, now I'm curious, you know, have you taken your own advice? You know, is it a case
right.
of me going to a doctor for health and nutrition and he's overweight and, you know, not taking care of him?
Right, absolutely. Well, thinking and living in a positive way is what attracted the right woman to me, and we've been happy for a number of years. And no, it's not always peachy in our relationship, but what you spoke about on your show, Jackie, was about finding the diamonds in each other. And from a previous guest saying love is something sacred, is a gift mm-hmm. from God, and we do treat it as such.
Mm. Yeah, that was Antonio Neal. You're absolutely right. And thanks for bringing that back, because all of these shows actually tie together. Our time is almost gone. I want you to give a final word. I'm thinking about this issue of trust, because I mm-hmm. think that trust is probably more important than love, because you can say that you love someone but not trust them. And I think we do it in our relationship with God all the time. We're like, oh, I love you, Lord. But then when He asks us to do something and we can't see how it's going to work, we're like, oh, I don't know. You know, so the trust value
right.
is kind of limited there, and it then limits the relationship and how much there can be in terms of development. So talk to us about, give a final word about people who may have gone through something or hurt in the past, and they are having a hard time opening up to trust again.
Well, you have to let go of past hurt. You have to open yourself up to the possibility of finding love by not guarding your heart. And ladies, you may have to kiss a few frogs before you meet your prince. And guys, you may have to date and experience some heartbreak a bit before you meet the right girl. But when you meet the right person, it will be worth it. They will be worth the wait simply because of what you've been through prior to meeting them.
Mm-hmm. I like that. No one can steal your heart if you've got it all guarded up. And,
that is correct.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned the kissing frogs. There's a book on my Facebook page. It's really for teens, but I women, you can take value in it. It's called Kissing Frogs, and it's a teen mentor, Lauren Galley, really talking about the issue of, you know, kissing frogs before you find your prince from a biblical perspective, you know, as well. And I guess I'll probably take you up on your 30-minute special. Why don't you tell the people about the special that you are offering right now?
Okay. Sure. Well, I have two offers that currently stand. I am offering a free 30-minute phone consultation for relationship or dating advice through my site, DanielAmos.com. You just go to contact us, go to that page, that link, and in the subject area, put in 30-minute consult and describe the purpose of you reaching out, and I will contact you. You can also go to ProfessionalSinglesMatch.com if you're looking for love and click on the services page to fill out some basic information about who you are and what you're looking for, and I'll try to work on matching you up with that right person.
Okay, so there you have it. You have the website. It is also right here on this Blog Talk Radio page. If you're on the Blog Talk Radio page, it's also you'll be able to find it on my Facebook page, which is what? Don't Give Up. That's right. Just leave out the apostrophe and make sure you put radio on the end. We've had a great time. Thank you so much for sharing with us. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome, Jackie. Anytime.
Okay, wonderful. Well, I want my guests to know that we're going to move on the month of March. We're going to speak to some fantastic women who are doing great things entrepreneurially and in terms of reaching for our dreams. And I love the show, The Voice. I think it's a more serious show and in terms of scouting for talent and artists. And we're going to have a wonderful former contestant on the show next week as she talks to us about pursuing her dream and being in that environment and what she had to do. So please tune in, come on back, and I want you to continue to be your own best hero, because the greatest hero of all said that you were worth it when he gave his life for you on that cross, and his name is Jesus, and God will take care of you. You don't have to worry. Whether you're single, whether you're going through it with a spouse who is being difficult, or whether you've lost a loved one, or whether you're just finding love for the first time, put your faith and your trust in God, and he will take care of you.
Do not dismay.